Midweek matches mean it's a Monday helping of FPL Pod. We preview the potential title decider. Should we be loading up on double players ahead of 34? And this week's guest is ranked 202 in the entire world. So listen up. Hello, it's Monday, and because there is a midweek round of action, it's not off the bench with you today. No, it's Kelly Summers back with you with a bonus episode of the FPL Pod. We're going to be looking ahead to Game Week 33. So firstly, we do need to react a little bit to Game Week 32. Myself and Sam Bonfield both activated our free hit chip, and Julian Laurent, I was dreading this podcast because despite not having the chip active, somehow you beat me by 2 points and you leveled Sam's score.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. Thank you very much. I told you to captain Bukayo Saka. Nobody listened because you all went for Mo Salah, like most of the game. And to be fair, after 10 minutes, it didn't look great for Bukayo Saka and Arsenal overall. But in the end, it came good. And that captaincy made a big difference in my team because I got 64 points and he obviously got 26 just for himself. But then Sam Johnstone was good in goal for the few of us who brought him in. Tony and Kane both scored. So overall, yeah, it was decent, even considering that Madison didn't play and Bueno didn't play from my team. So yeah, in the end, I was very happy.
I'm going to be a gracious loser and say congratulations. And in my defense, I talked about last week, didn't I, Sam, on the podcast about trying to punt a little bit because I'm chasing. Well, it didn't work. Shout out to Dominic Solanke. I played him over Harry Kane. I thought Cody Gakpo was a bit of a differential. 1 point for him. Oh, and Alex Moreno as well. Left Mark Gahey on my bench alongside Andreas Pereira with his 10 points. So yeah, it went really well. And it probably was more painful because of that bench, actually. Sam, how was yours?
That was really a tale of woe, wasn't it, Kelly? That was like nothing gone right.
Yeah, it's Monday morning, Sam. I just needed to get it out, get it said, get it into the atmosphere and move on because my wild card is active. I need to focus on that. Tell us about your game week. Enough of mine.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a little bit of FPL therapy in your life, don't you, to make you feel a bit better. Mine was fine. The Alex Moreno thing was really annoying, Kelly, because he went off literally like a minute after they'd scored. And I was like, no, why didn't you go off a minute before?
I know.
But hey ho, that is what it is. Mine was good. I mean, I did not jump on the Dominic Solanke bandwagon because I keep my trust, as always, in Harry Kane, even when Spurs do Spurs things. Kane does Kane things.
That was next level Spurs things, no?
I mean, 100%. No more mentions of that, please, on the rest of this podcast today. Nothing, George. You didn't miss anything, actually. It was just very, very boring, particularly the first 23 minutes. Yeah, I had Anderson, so at least I got my Palace clean sheet in. I was disappointed with Eze. I think, you know, most players went with one of the Crystal Palace attackers on their free hit chip. And obviously, with none of them scoring, that was a bit disappointing, particularly as I spent a lot of time on last week's pod talking about how I fancied West Ham and maybe going for a bit of a punt on Jarrod Bowen might have been a good idea. And then didn't do it. So it's those kind of decisions. But, you know, free hits, you either love them or you hate them. And sometimes they pay off. And sometimes you look back at the team that you would have had in that game week and think, oh my goodness, if only I'd kept you guys instead.
When I played my free hit, I got 82 points, I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there.
I mean, at least mine was a green arrow, Jules, a nice little bump up in rank. So we'll take that and we move on.
Remarkably, I did still have a green arrow and I did bump up a little bit. Not as much as I wanted to, considering I'm targeting 100K. But yeah, I did have a little green arrow in my own defence there. Thank goodness that I did free hit to at least have those Liverpool and Arsenal attackers. Anyway, moving on. Our guest this week also played their free hit chip and had a very similar team, I'd like to point out, to mine. However, did have one very different player, Timothy Castagna, who got 10 points. So, of course, Harry also outscored me this week. Harry Daniels, welcome along to the FPL pod. I should also say that you are having one of the most remarkable FPL seasons. I can't believe it. You're what, 202, is it, in the world at the moment?
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. I kept Dom Solanke this week, partly because of his heroics last week against Spurs for me, scoring 15 points, which helped. So doing that against Spurs, there was no chance I was taking him out of my team this week. But yeah, 202nd in the world. It's going very well.
Wow.
Just tell us what has been the secret to that. We need to know every single secret because myself and Jules particularly are pretty desperate at this point.
Well, I think Solanke against Spurs last week and then picking a Leicester defender this week and him scoring again, there's a reasonable amount of luck going on in there. Again, it's just been quite consistent. I know like Haaland's been a big help along the way, plus getting Salah back quite recently as well. A couple of the Liverpool guys against Leeds on that Monday night fixture ahead of the curve was a big help. But yeah, a little bit of, well, quite a lot of luck, particularly recently, has helped me get there.
I was talking to someone else recently who's had a pretty good season, not quite in the league that you're having. And they were saying this season they've not taken as many points hits and things like that. Where do you stand on those kind of things? And are you, we know that to have success in FPL, you do really need to plan. But are you very much a planner and not a panicker, I'm guessing?
I'm a big planner, yeah. Like I look at my team sort of before the next, whatever the next double is, whatever the next blank is, quite a few weeks in advance. But I'd say I've probably taken more points hits this season than I have done in previous ones, because of the amount of doubles we've had, the short notice we've had on some of them as well, just to try and get my team as well set up for them. And again, I played my wild card, I think like quite a lot of people did in game week 26 when I really hadn't planned to do so. So just a little bit of flexibility there. But yeah, I think it's been a bit of a different season for me. Maybe more points hits has helped me. Maybe I should next season as well start taking a few more.
And your free hit then, you got 70 points overall. I feel like I did you down a little bit by saying it was similar to my team, having just said how bad my team was. You did get 70 points. How do you reflect on it?
Yeah, if it wasn't for Timothy Castagne, I might not be as positive looking at it. Again, Sam Johnson in goal with his 10 points. The Arsenal mids in Saka and Martinelli again doing well for myself, as they do for a lot of people every week, despite the result, continuing to score points. It was the forward line. It was very disappointing. Watkins, Jesus, and then Solanke. How between the three of them they didn't end up with anything this weekend, I'm not quite sure. Jesus had a lot of involvement in that game, like we've seen with him before, but nothing. And then Solanke again, not quite the result we expected from that game, I don't think.
No, I wasn't watching it. I was just getting the score notifications coming through and I was like, someone here is trolling me, and I couldn't believe it. When Harry Kane scored as well for Spurs, I was like, they're losing. What's the point in him scoring?
FPL points, Kelly. That was the point.
To punish me. Yeah. The casual 5.5 million sitting in my FPL bank, which could have been spent on Harry Kane. Anyway, let's look back on the main talking points then from game week 32, because there is no off the bench podcast this week. We're kind of here as a hybrid, looking back and looking forward. Firstly, Jules, Arsenal. I'm not doing this to rub it in, but we do have to talk about it from an FPL.
It's going to be painful for us this, Jules.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful Watford are in the championship. Not the scoreline, and they're going to be staying there, that we were expecting on Friday night, but returns for Arsenal's attackers, which was good from us from an FPL point of view, but continuing the theme of no clean sheets.
That's right. But we explained on Thursday show, didn't we, about the defenders and the Arsenal defenders, that it was difficult at the moment for them, but that you knew that of the four main attackers, Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus, then if you could pick three and you pick the three good ones, not like Harry, then you would get a good return. And if you pick Gabriel Jesus out of the four, then unfortunately it was not his night, but the other three again returned well in the case of Martinelli and Saka especially. So it's quite fascinating because clearly the pressure is there in that title race against City. Wednesday is the final of the season pretty much. And yet they're still performing in one half of the pitch and not so much on the other half. So it was a fascinating game. I got a lot of very angry listeners sending me messages on Twitter and on Instagram after 15 minutes saying, what were you talking about on the show? Like, you know, this is ridiculous. And then the same people at the end of the game, and not all of them were Arsenal fans, but at least saying like, okay, it was still good to have Saka and Saka as captain, or Martinelli and Martinelli as captain, those kind of things. But yeah, it was a very eventful Friday evening.
Yeah, it was very eventful indeed, as all Arsenal games seem to be at the moment. We'll talk about Arsenal's week ahead in a few minutes, because of course they've got that massive game on Wednesday night, which is very interesting from an FPL point of view as well. Sam, elsewhere, what do you think the other talking points are, the big things we need to take away from the game week?
I mean, well, Sunday was very non-eventful and very quiet, so we don't need to talk about anything that happened there.
On a serious note though, Sam, does that not change the way we're looking at Newcastle's attack? 100%. We don't have to talk about Spurs at this point. No one's really been talking about that.
Yeah. I think from a Newcastle perspective, and I think, you know, we've seen their fixture be rescheduled now that was postponed from earlier on. Yeah. So we know that they've got a double game week coming up in game week 36. So we've got to start thinking about teams like Newcastle. Now, the one caveat I would put on this is that for the first 23 minutes, Spurs were dreadful. Actually, that's too nice a word. They were awful. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And there was just no defending at all. Now, in most weeks, Newcastle won't come up against a defence that's basically non-existent, as Spurs were for 23 minutes. Once Spurs changed their formation, went back to the back three, you know, with the two wider defenders, Newcastle's prolific status in front of goal did calm down a lot. Now, you could say that that's for two reasons. One, that could have been because Spurs changed their system and got a little bit better defensively. Or two, it could be because Newcastle went, well, we've got five, let's take our feet off the accelerator and kind of coast through the rest of the game. So I think we can start looking at them. I think what I would say is that without Newcastle doubling in 34, even though they have a really nice fixture in game week 34 against Southampton, they do play a lot of the teams that are now starting to have to fight for their lives over the next few weeks. So we will start to see teams like we saw with Southampton on Friday evening against Arsenal, really putting in the hard lines to make sure that they try and stay in the division. So Newcastle's fixtures look great on paper. Might we see the relegation battle kind of catch up with them a bit? Maybe. I think going into game week 35, that's when I'll be really looking to target in on the Newcastle attackers and try to make the most of that.
Talking about the relegation battle, Harry, obviously we've said before we didn't see that result coming at home for Bournemouth. Palace and Everton drawing 0-0. Clean sheets. I know lots of people had invested. Jules already mentioned the fact that Sam Johnston, I know he was your goalkeeper as well. So you did well if you had Palace or Everton defenders, but no returns for any Palace attackers. And there'd been a lot of interest, hadn't there, in Eze and Elise?
Yeah, particularly I think Eze this week was the one scoring a couple of goals in the most recent game was the one that people went with. Everton as well this season, we thought they'd get very good defensively under Sean Dyche. He tends to defend well, and we haven't actually seen that so much from them. The Crystal Palace attackers, if you actually, I suppose, look at their sort of expected goals numbers, they've been quite fortunate to get the amount of returns that maybe we've seen from them in the past couple of weeks. It was probably a good fixture to target, and on free hit, it was one of the fixtures that I wish I had an attacker from. Now, the attackers I picked instead of them in my forward line didn't do any better from them. And actually, I would have got 3 points from midfielder over two. But it's still a good run of fixtures that Crystal Palace have. I still expect the likes of Eze and Elise to do well. If people brought them in not on their free hit, I'd still be pretty happy to have them. But yeah, maybe it's just they didn't have that last little bit of fight that maybe Everton did to try and get that result over the line.
Yeah, Palace, of course, don't have any doubles, neither do Everton. Harry, a quick word as well, because you mentioned your forward line, the same as mine, of course. No return for Ollie Watkins this week. No doubles for him either. Is he still a must-hold for you? What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, a bit of a shock that Ollie Watkins doesn't come in with a return. It seems to be a given every week that he gets at least something, if not a couple of goals, that it seems in the past couple of weeks. Aston Villa, again, performing well. Away at Brentford is a difficult fixture. Brentford have been mixed recently, but at home they still look really good. Watkins is an interesting one, particularly because he doesn't have any double game weeks. I think, as Sam mentioned, when we look at the likes of Isaac later on in the season when they have their double game week, I think a lot of people might finally move off Ollie Watkins, except he's got a good fixture this week at home to Fulham. He's got okay fixture between now and the end of the season as well. It's just those no doubles. And when you're trying to chase and trying to get the extra couple of points in the last few weeks, you do look for those players with double game weeks. And Watkins, with none of them, will probably be a player that a lot of people look to maybe slowly move off just to take those punts towards the end of the season. But I probably don't look in the short term and see there's anyone better than him. It will probably be the last couple of weeks that I might decide to go for the likes of Isaac, who did very well again this week.
Yeah, that's literally me, because my wildcard is active, as I said, and I'm looking at it trying to fill up with doublers for 34. But I'm like, how can I sell him when, yes, I know he blanked this week, but the form he's in, he feels like he could really punish you if you get rid of him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Fulham at home this week, and then Wolves in game week 35 as well. Especially if you don't have your bench boost in game week 34, the fixture against Manchester United actually works quite well, because we're going to have to put someone on our benches that week, despite there being so many double game weeks. So Watkins works quite well. You can just put him on your bench if you don't want him away at Manchester United, who, although they've conceded some goals, had some mixed results, tend to be pretty good defensively. And now with Luke Shaw in there, they seem to be back to a little bit of defensive solidity. So I'd probably keep him. And then if you can move him on sort of game week 36 is probably the way to go. I wouldn't want to go without him at home to Fulham this week, I don't think.
Caveat, I also have my bench boost, which I'm going to use in 34. That's why I'm so confused. But I'm going to keep him for this week, I think, because in terms of everyone feels like they have him at the moment. So if I don't, it could really punish me.
So you're going to play free hit game week 32, wildcard 33, bench boost 34. Is that the first hat trick in FPL history? That's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, no, it does feel a bit like I'm going all in, but I'm at the point where I'm running out of game weeks to play them. The wild card wasn't meant to be played this week. The wild card was meant to be played a few weeks ago, but then a few injuries changed things around when I didn't know what was going on with Rashford and Shaw. Anyway, I don't have to justify my chip usage to you.
I'm just finding it interesting. You know, I mean, it's 38 games in the season, and yeah, you play your three, you know, biggest chip in three game week in a row. It's brilliant.
I like waiting for doubles, so, and doubles and blanks. So that's what I'm doing.
And so far, it's been working well.
It's just jealousy, this is, because you don't have yours left and you're, and she's ahead of
that's
you.
That's true. I only got 82 points when I played my free hit.
She's going to extend her lead.
Moving on, Sam, before we move on to talk about some of the doubles that are coming up and game week 33, I feel a bit rude because I did interrupt you and make you talk about Newcastle a few minutes ago. Is there anything you'd like to add on 32?
I think the thing for me that was kind of the most noticeable was what we do about Liverpool, because we were all expecting Liverpool to keep a clean sheet, I think, in that one, because Nottingham Forest away from home haven't been great. A lot of us were doubling up on the Liverpool defence because we were worried about the rotation with the forward players. We weren't really sure who was going to get the starts. Klopp gave some really interesting comments in his press conference ahead of that game, which kind of made a few managers, I think, lean back towards Jota again when he was talking about maybe that Darwin's a bit more of a long-term project than Jota. We saw Luis Diaz get another 10 minutes in that game, so it doesn't seem like he's quite ready to get starts. Now, that means that we are starting to settle, I think, particularly for game week 33 and 34, on knowing a bit more, having a bit more clarity on those Liverpool attackers. And I think with them having a double in 34, you're going to want to be invested in Liverpool. And I suspect, Kelly, on your wild card, you'll be getting at least a couple of Liverpool players in your team.
Yeah, I think finance will mean I can only get two. But yeah, it's looking like being one of Trent or Robertson. And it feels like it has to be Mo Salah. Anyway, if you've got some advice for me, go.
Well, I was only going to say that I think, you know, the Mo Salah one's interesting, isn't it? Because if you can afford to do it on wildcard, I'd absolutely do it. But I think there'll be a lot of managers that can't easily afford to get to Mo Salah without, you know, taking a lot of points hits by taking out Kane, changing your strategy in terms of how your premiums work. And I think maybe we're starting to see a situation now where, with Jota feeling a little bit more secure, not totally secure that he's going to get three starts in the next three games, basically is three starts in a week, isn't it, for him? I think you're going to get at least a couple of starts and minutes in the other one. So maybe if you don't want to take the points here, then rolling through with the swap from Kane to Jota might not be a terrible shout. But I think for you on wildcard, I'd definitely be looking at Trent and Salah.
Yeah, that's who I've got at the moment. But there is a long way to go until the deadline. And there are still many things I need to sort out. Anyway, Sam, before we do look at game week 33 in detail, a quick word on where we're at with double game weeks and blanks, because we've had another announcement, haven't we?
We have, and we finally got some clarity now. We've got all of the fixtures rescheduled at this stage now, so we can really plan between now and the end of the season, which is why, Kelly, if you've held your chips like you have, you've put yourself in a really nice position now. So we already knew about double game week 34, Liverpool, Man City, Manchester United, Brighton, West Ham and Fulham get the double in that one. Game week 36, we talked about briefly on the podcast last week, Newcastle and Brighton playing twice in that one. And then we've got the double game week again in 37, where we've got Brighton, Man City, Manchester United and Harry's team Chelsea playing twice in that one. So we get to see now how we're going to plan out our weeks moving forward. No more blanks either. So we should be able to now get a nice run through with our squads and be able to really carefully plan our transfers. Because if you think about teams like Brighton, they play twice in every single one of those double game weeks. So investing heavily in them is going to be a wise one. Same with Manchester United, Manchester City. They've got two out of those three double game weeks coming up.
Okay, so plenty of points available, but will we find them? Let's move on to game week 33. As I said, it's a midweek round with a 6 p.m. deadline on Tuesday. Do not miss it. Now, this week will be another key one because FPL managers want to make sure they're not only setting themselves up for the midweek, but of course, we do have to look at double game week 34, as Sam's just discussed as well. Going to look at some of the key fixtures. Jules, there's only really one place to start. If I say to you key fixtures this week, you say...
Manchester City, Arsenal. Really? I mean, I think the whole world is going to be watching, and rightly so, because this is it. This is the game that we've all been waiting for. There will still be more games, like Sam just explained, and more minutes to play for both teams and twists and turns maybe. But this is the one, first against second. Mm-hmm. This is where we'll have an idea of if Arsenal can really see this one out, this season out, to win the title, or if City is just have too much momentum, just too much inform. They've won 12 in a row now after the win in the FA Cup on Saturday against Sheffield United. And clearly the form of the two teams is quite different going into this big fixture at the Etihad. So it'd be fascinating to see, one, what kind of team Pep Guardiola chooses. And you could expect the kind of similar one to the one we saw in the Champions League, for example, against Bayern with the four centre-backs, or, you know, four centre-backs maybe at the back, and then Grealish, Haaland, Bernardo Silva, potentially more than Mahrez, despite his hat-trick at the weekend. And then Gundogan, Rodri and KDB in midfield. That could be pretty straightforward. And for Arsenal, again, I think if Xhaka comes back from his illness, then there's no surprises there. But it would be like what those key players do on the pitch that for us would be the most interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting from a neutral's point of view. We consider as neutrals, Harry and Sam. And even if you're invested in terms of supporting one of the two teams, but from an FPL point of view, Harry, so many managers are going to be so heavily invested in both of these teams, but it's pretty much the trickiest fixture for both of these teams this season, isn't it? So what do we do with our Man City and Arsenal assets going into this one?
Yeah, I think if you've got them, you sort of have to play them, because this game could go either way. I think I personally am expecting a Manchester City win given recent form and given how, just the recent form. And I think when Manchester City get to this sort of running in the season, we start to see Pep and Manchester City really put their foot down. But if you've got your Arsenal mids, as we saw, they don't need to win games to pick up FPL points, as we saw against Southampton. And we know how big a game this is, that if Arsenal are going to want to win this game, and if they are going to want to, you know, push on for the title, Saka and Martinelli, who are probably the two most owned, are going to have to get points. They're going to have to, you know, put in one of their best performances. So if you've got the attacking assets, I definitely would be playing them. It's defensively, again, as we mentioned with Arsenal, they are leaking a lot of goals. And if you've got defensive assets as well from Manchester City, are probably expecting goals in this game and probably both teams to score. So your attackers, absolutely, I'd be throwing them in there. Defensively, I'm less sure, I think.
Yeah, it does feel like both these teams are going to go for it. Sam, do you concur that that's the best plan of attack? Because it does feel like whoever you leave on the bench, because I was looking at my team on Wildcard, of course, and if I leave probably the one Arsenal midfielder that I'm going to have remaining on the bench, it just doesn't feel right.
No, and currently in my bus team for game week 33, I have got Saka on the bench, and it feels all kinds of wrong to have him there. And I keep looking at my team thinking, well, how can I play you? But then I look at the rest of my team and think, well, I'm not going to bench Rashford against that Spurs defence. I can't bench my two Brighton midfielders because they've got a nice fixture on paper against Nottingham Forest. I don't want to bench Ollie Watkins because he's got a nice fixture on paper against Fulham. And then obviously I'm definitely not going to bench Haaland or Grealish because Arsenal defensively have been struggling of late. So it comes down to a choice between benching Kane and benching Saka, because I have to bench one of them. And it feels horrendous to be in that position. But I think a lot of FPL managers will find themselves in that place because we have been building up to game week 34. We've been investing heavily in players that have got the double there. And that gives us a bit of a headache for this week. I totally agree with Harry on benching the defenders. I think if you've got Gabriel or somebody like that in your team, then you move them to the bench for this one. But the attackers do feel like players that you want to play because, I mean, I would like to believe that Arsenal are going to go there and try to win this game, because if they beat Manchester City, they put themselves back in the kind of lead position for the title race. Because we have to bear in mind, of course, that Man City have those two, what look also quite nice fixtures, games in hand over Arsenal. So this one's going to be so important in the title race. I think there's goals for both sides. I don't think either side clean sheets. You just have to make some tough calls, I think, this week.
Sam, looking at the top 10 most transferred out ahead of game week 33, there's five Arsenal players in that 10. Does that surprise you?
Not really, because of the lack of a double. And I think a lot of FPL managers now are looking at those five midfielder spots that this season we've been talking. I mean, it feels like every week we sit here and we say the five midfielder spots are so important. You need to make sure you use them wisely. And heading into a double game week in 34, where Arsenal don't play twice, but you have players like Liverpool's assets who do, like Manchester United's. And we have to remember that a lot of players sold Marcus Rashford a couple of weeks ago when he picked up that groin injury, and we'll be looking for a route back to him. Obviously, Brighton are doubling. So when you look at the players that you could have for that double game week in the midfield, it doesn't really surprise me to see Saka and Ødegaard and Martinelli in there, even with the form that they've been showing. A lot of people are trying to exploit the upside. So by getting rid of them, you give yourself a position where you can get an extra doubler in the midfield. I think, you know, we talked already about Gabriel. I think the Arsenal defence, maybe Ben White aside, because he's getting attacking returns, but Gabriel's quite an expensive Arsenal defender. So selling him gives you the position where you can maybe try to look to get towards a Liverpool defender for their double game week. Or you could look towards a Manchester United defender if you want to go back to Luke Shaw. So it kind of does make sense, even though the attackers are still in good form for Arsenal.
It still feels like, Jules, it's a toss-up between Saka and Martinelli. It feels like at this point of the season, given all of what Sam said there, the lack of doubles and the slight dip in form for Arsenal, that now people probably won't be doubling up on the Arsenal attack.
No, I know.
Who is the best? I've asked you this so many times this season. Is it just you have to punt on one of them and just hope they do well? Or maybe Gabriel Jesus is the way forward because the midfield slots, there's so much competition. I'm kind of trying to work out what the best way forward is because it feels a bit naive to not have any Arsenal attack.
No, you're right. I mean, yeah, I think at least one. I mean, I think the managers should have at least one of them. I think it's difficult to pick. I think a lot of it is maybe down to what kind of player you like. Some like the way Martinelli plays, other like the way Saka plays. I think it's really, I didn't really look like last night at the number of points that they have, but I would expect it to be quite similar, to be fair. We could say that Saka is on penalty, although against West Ham, obviously that didn't work out for him, but they both take corners, they both take set pieces. I think Saka is a better set piece taker than Martinelli is, but Martinelli still takes some corners, especially on his side now and again. So really, yeah, it just depends. You could go for an Ødegaard pick as well if you like, but I think Saka has been really excellent this season, and Martinelli has been fantastic. I just personally, I like the way Saka plays. I like his kind of profile. Martinelli is more of a dribbler, of course. Saka slightly plays differently. So I would keep Saka in. But, I mean, there's also an argument to keep them both until the end of the season. There's no double game week, as we explained. So maybe it's the right time to just go for one of the two. But you could also pick two. And if they continue in that kind of form, if they bring you at least 10 points every game week, you're still very happy, even if they don't have a double game week.
Yeah, just looking at the points totals that you mentioned there, Martinelli's on 189, Saka on 185, so just 4 points difference there. But I think the big difference for a lot of managers is the price, because Martinelli's now 6.9,
definitely.
Saka is 8.5, and that's going to play into my thinking on my wild card. I think I'll be keeping Martinelli purely for that reason.
Which is fair enough, yeah.
I love Bukayo Saka, the star boy. He's brilliant at England, but unfortunately he's 1.6 million more. And I just don't have that to play with. Okay, then taking a look at some of the teams that double in 34 as we make our transfer plans. As Sam said, Manchester United, West Ham, Liverpool, Fulham, Brighton and Manchester City. But of course, if we're bringing them in now, we have to look at the fixtures that they've got in 33. And there's a bit of a mixed bag, some of them with some really tricky fixtures. We've already discussed Man City playing at home to Arsenal, then Spurs taking on Manchester United. Sam, sorry to bring Spurs up, but we've got this far without talking about them. Perhaps our view on the difficulty of this fixture for Manchester United has changed a bit, or am I being a bit harsh there?
Yes, probably it should have done. I think the reality is it's a home game for Spurs. There's a lot of unhappy Spurs fans after the weekend. I expect some bounce. And I also expect the managerial staff to have learnt their lesson about the way that we set up our defensive unit going into this one. So I suspect that we'll go back to the back three as we've been playing with for the rest of the season. We've only played with the back four twice and it's gone horribly wrong both times. So I suspect we'll see a change of formation there. Manchester United have just played a very long FA Cup semi-final. So they obviously got taken to penalties in that one. So, you know, maybe we get some tired legs, particularly from the likes of Rashford, who's just coming back from an injury that's kept him out for a couple of weeks. I think Manchester United will come with the expectation of being able to beat Spurs. I think Spurs will go into the game hoping, because it's going to be a case of who can outscore the other one, I think. Spurs defensively are very weak. Manchester United are also struggling with their defence a little bit. Not so much in terms of their not keeping clean sheets, but in terms of their fitness and their availability of defenders. There's a lot of key ones that are missing for Manchester United right now. And Spurs, even with how bad we are, you can kind of always bank on Harry Kane to pop up with a goal. So if Spurs can be a bit tighter, and that is a very, very big if Spurs can be a bit tighter defensively, then maybe it's a harder game on paper for Manchester United. But I do think Manchester United will win the game. So having somebody like Rashford in there is going to be really important. And I think he should be prioritised going into this week to make sure that we have him for 33, have him for the double in 34, and then still have him in 37 when they play twice again.
Well, Harry, as well as there being concerns over Manchester United going to extra time, I know there was a lot of concern when Bruno Fernandes came off because he was one of Manchester United's best players again yesterday, but he did come off early and then he was seen, I could see him on the bench with ice strapped around his leg and he looked like he was limping a little bit. Do you think, there's no press conference, of course, by the way, between now and the next deadline. Do you think that we should just hold fire if we are thinking about bringing him in, particularly with that double in mind?
Yeah, it's a little bit worrying because Bruno Fernandes is one of those players who's pretty much on the pitch the whole time for Manchester United, unless they absolutely feel like he can't play. So for him to come off when they were 0-0 in a FA Cup semi-final is a little bit of a concern. If you have him, absolutely hold fire. You know, Bruno tends to be one of those players that will play through thick and thin. And a game away at Tottenham, I would expect to see him unless there is a real issue for him to go and play that one. If you're on wildcard, it's probably then one of those players that I would go, there's enough other good options there that maybe I wouldn't go there. And his performances on the pitch have been fantastic, but his FPL returns have not. Sitting in my team, I've been infuriated the past couple of weeks with the amount of performances, crosses, passes he's been doing, but actually the lack of returns that he's not necessarily been getting. But if you've got him, I would hold on to him, but I wouldn't be buying him in. I would definitely wait until game week 34. But actually, I think the way that some of those Manchester United players are positioning up, the way that he's been dropping deep a little bit as well, he's not probably top of my buy-in radar at the moment.
When you talk about your radar in terms of Manchester United players to buy, are you targeting having three for the double? And if so, which three, or maybe two or even one?
Yeah, probably better just to call it my watch list, much less of a tongue twister than my buy-in radar. but yeah, I look at it and think, before game week 29, I was very much, I want Shaw, I want Marcus Rashford, and I want Bruno Fernandes as well. And those are the three I've got in my team. And I don't plan on making any changes to that anytime soon. But I don't necessarily think I'll be buying three, actually, looking at it now. Bruno Fernandes' positioning does worry me a little bit. I think there are enough other midfielders like Jack Grealish, like the Brighton midfielders, like Mo Salah as well, that I'd probably be owning over him at the moment. Marcus Rashford's an interesting one. He picked up that groin injury, of course, and has come back probably sooner than a lot of us expected him to. And I'm not necessarily sure how fit he really is. And we've seen it with him before that maybe he plays with a slight injury and tries to push through, and it doesn't do anything good for his performances. Now, I would want Marcus Rashford for that double because we know how important he is to that Manchester United team at the moment. But I think with the amount of other teams that are looking very good at the moment and free-flowing and scoring goals, like Brighton, like Liverpool, who also double, I think just two, particularly Marcus Rashford, and then probably one of their defenders. Although their double game week in game week 34 against Brighton and Aston Villa is far from good from a defensive point of view as well. So if you can't quite get to them, I don't think they're one of my top buys defensively. I think it's an okay double, and they have an okay run towards the end of the season with another double as well. But that double game week in particular doesn't do a lot for me defensively.
I think if you've got Luke Shaw, then you hold him. But I'm not sure I'd prioritise bringing one of the defenders in. Like, I think reality is that Kane probably does score against them on Thursday evening because that's Kane and that's what he's doing at the moment, right? He's one of the most informed forwards in the game. And then, as Harry says, Aston Villa and Brighton in the double, both teams that I would be expecting to score goals. So I think if you do want to go with Luke Shaw, then you're going on the basis that there could be some attacking threat. But the reality is, depending on where Luke Shaw plays in that back four for Manchester United, his attacking threat will go up or down. If he's playing in that kind of centre-back position, you're going to get less out of him. If he's playing in a wing-back position, then you're going to get more out of him. So, and we're not really going to know that ahead of the game because, as you say, Kelly, no press conference to help us out on this one.
Yeah, it's annoying when that happens, isn't it? When teams play later in the week and we don't get that press conference before the 6 p.m. deadline on Tuesday. We've already spoken about Liverpool. They travel to West Ham. And given the way West Ham are playing at the moment, that is a tricky, tricky game for Jurgen Klopp's side, isn't it, Jules? Does that make you hesitate about looking at Liverpool players for this game week?
No, not really, because I think West Ham would be physical, but I think Liverpool can respond, really. And they've conceded two goals against Forest, probably wondering how that happened, to be honest. But defensively, I just cannot understand how you can have a back five of Alisson, Konate, Van Dijk, Robertson and Trent and not defend better in a game like that, for example. But you could still think that Robertson or Trent will get attacking returns, that your whoever attackers that you have from Liverpool, Salah, Jota's ownership is really, really low, which I know he's 8.8 million, so it's quite expensive. But considering the form that he's now, I expect a few people trying to bring him in, which is normal, which makes sense, as Sam was explaining earlier. So I've got no worries at all about Liverpool. I brought in Curtis Jones just because I didn't have much money and I wanted a Liverpool player, and that's all I could afford, hoping that it would do something in the end. Zero shot, two passes in the final thirds, zero chances created. I mean, it doesn't even have an XG, like the XG expected assist is non-existent, but I don't care. I love him. He got me 2 points and that was it. But yeah, it was just, don't do like me, don't bring in Curtis Jones. But I still think that Liverpool look a good bet, even at West Ham.
Yeah, as for West Ham, Sam, wow, what a week for them in Europe and in the Premier League. And they have got a double, so it's quite nice of them to come into form at this point.
Yeah, isn't it just? And, you know, reasonably priced a lot of them. And I think, you know, Thursday night's game, for me, felt like it could be quite a turning point for West Ham towards the back end of the season. They've really struggled in recent weeks. They've not been able to find their rhythm. They have had a lot of injuries this season. You know, if you think back earlier on, we were all aboard, like, Paqueta. Jules was loving on him earlier on in the season. Yeah, absolutely. I know in recent weeks since the World Cup, we've not really spoken about them because they've been kind of just drifting off into kind of mediocrity in terms of FPL. They've not been returning regularly. But what we're seeing now is maybe a bit of a bounce that's come off the back of this European run that got them to this position where they could make European football again next season as a result if they can win this Europa Conference League. And then we saw them go into the weekend's fixture against a Bournemouth side that have been finding some form. They've been getting themselves all clear of the relegation zone. And West Ham played incredibly well in that one. What we saw is returns for a lot of... It wasn't just one or two players doing well. It was a lot of their team playing well. And I think there are some cheaper options. You know, I've been kind of harping on for a little bit about Aaron Creswell, and he is cheap. So he's going to be one of those players that, you know, for the likes of you, Kelly, on wildcard, when you've got a bench boost chip still to play, you want to make sure that your benching options for game week 34 bring something, because, you know, we have to make sure that you beat Jules' score with your bench boost chip going into this one.
Thank you. I'm glad you're team Kelly.
Yeah, always team Kelly. So we need to make sure that, you know, you've got some good double game week options there. And Creswell's cheap. He could give you some attacking threat, as we saw in the game at the weekend against Bournemouth. And if they can keep, and it is a big if they can keep some clean sheets, but they did manage it away at Bournemouth, who have been scoring goals recently. So I think there are some options there that you can have a look at. You know, if you can get to Bowen, and he's expensive in terms of who you could afford to have instead of him, because he's coming in at that same sort of price back as the likes of Saka and some of those Liverpool midfielders. So it's going to be a tough buy. But Creswell, I think he's nice and cheap. You can bench him when you don't want to play him and target in on a good double game week in 34. You have to play him against Liverpool this week.
Harry, have you got any interest in West Ham?
Not massively. A Liverpool at home fixture. Again, Liverpool starting to look a little bit better, and their away form, particularly that Leeds fixture, was a lot better than maybe we've seen earlier on in the season. It is a double game week, but Crystal Palace away, Manchester City away does make it a little bit hard for me to find anywhere to invest, because I don't expect there to be very much at all in that Manchester City game, which almost makes it a single game week plus 2 points. Yes, they might get something. Manchester City leak the occasional goal, but I don't see a lot of points in there. And Crystal Palace have been performing very well. You might want to hope for a clean sheet in that one with the likes of Cresswell, as Sam is saying. He's probably one of the better ones. The thing with Bowen, again, is there are so many good midfielders that it's just difficult to find space with them. Up front, if you wanted to try and predict Antonio was going to play both, a bit of a cheaper forward, then potentially, but he's not been firing in front of goal. He scored this weekend, but not been consistent enough to really force his way into our FPL team. So if I had to pick one, I think it would be Cresswell, just to hope for a clean sheet against Crystal Palace, hope for some attacking threat in there as well. But there are a lot of other good defenders like the Newcastle defence who they don't have a double, but they have Southampton at home in game week 34, which arguably is necessarily better than having a double game week away at Crystal Palace and away at Manchester City as well.
And then they've got United at home as well. So they play Liverpool, Palace away, and then City away and United at home, which are like four really, really tough fixtures.
Liverpool have been terrible on the road though this season. So you could see West Ham getting some attacking returns in there in that one.
Yeah, it's tough though, isn't it? Because I guess West Ham in this instance are a prime example of getting a bit blinded by the doubles and maybe not looking, or the double, and not looking at the bigger picture and also looking at the fixtures around it as well as the two that they're going to play in that game week. Anyway, looking at a couple of the other teams at double, Aston Villa versus Fulham. We've already spoken about Villa, Harry, in terms of keeping Ollie Watkins, despite them only having one fixture in 34. Fulham, though, do play twice. They've got a double, but it is a really tough one in 34. So I'm personally not anticipating too much investment in them. Are you?
I think probably not. If they had a fully fit squad, if Alexander Mitrovic was there, he'd probably be taking up that third forward spot and we'd all be going back in on Alexander Mitrovic. But we're probably not looking at their forward line again because of the fixtures defensively. Again, we're probably not looking there. In midfield, if you have a spare slot for your bench boost, then Andres Pereira does fit quite nicely. He is likely to be on penalties without Mitrovic in the team. He is on a lot of set pieces, but again, with the amount of midfielders, it might change whether if you go Diego Jota as your third striker, then you might need a cheap midfielder. Then the likes of Andres Pereira might work. The only one that potentially gets a look in is Leno in goal, because if you are on your bench boost in game week 34, you are looking for a goalkeeper that has a double game week to try and maximise the amount of points that you're going to get there. You might look at West Ham, you might look at the likes of Fabianski with his double as well, but the other one is Leno, who has been performing very well. Now, you probably don't expect a clean sheet at home to Manchester City or away at Liverpool, but you'd have to expect that he's going to make a fair few number of saves over those two games. And for goalkeepers, we've seen over the past couple of weeks, particularly with the likes of David Raya, that they don't need clean sheets to get a lot of points. A couple of saves here or there, or quite a lot of saves, which is what Leno could get in those, could make Leno a decent backup goalkeeper on bench boost.
Okay, then moving on to the team that have the most games between now and the end of the season. Brighton have three doubles. They travel to Nottingham Forest this week. And Sam, we can talk about teams that have lots of doubles, but maybe have tricky fixtures this week. Is this quite a nice fixture for Roberto De Zerbi's side?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're going in the back of a bit of a disappointing result in the FA Cup. So you never really know what kind of impact that might have, particularly going out on penalties for Solly March, having been the one that missed his. And Nottingham Forest have been way better at home than they have been away from home. But they do tend to be quite attacking when they are at home. And that might leave space in behind for Brighton, because that is fundamentally how Brighton like to play. So I think investing heavily in Brighton is the way to go for all FPL managers, because it's going to allow you to target in on the doubles, and they do have nice fixtures to come. They also have the incentive of European football hanging in the balance for them if they can win their games in hand and if they can really do well over these last few weeks. So Brighton, for me, have a bit of everything. They have the doubles, they have the motivation, and they have nice fixtures. So if you are on wildcard, then trebling up makes an absolute world of sense. If you aren't already trebled up, then I think getting in three does make sense. I think the one for me that I am carefully going to be watching against Nottingham Forest is Alexis McAllister. He's currently in my team. He's one of my three Brighton assets. But in the early part of the FA Cup, whilst Francisco was on the pitch, he was playing in that deeper role again, and he wasn't in that number 10 position there where he's been so attacking and so great for us in FPL. If he continues to sit deeper, it doesn't remove all of his attacking threat, because he's still on penalties and he's still on a lot of set pieces. So you will still get that potential, but you just don't quite get that attacking prowess that we've seen in recent game weeks. Now, when Isco came off, he then did go back into that kind of more forward number 10 role. And that was where I want to see him from an FPL perspective. So he's one I'll be watching against Nottingham Forest. I'm not changing anything ahead of this Forest match. But if going into game week 34, we're seeing that McAllister is still sitting in that deeper role, there may be a move from him to March or to Matoma, depending upon who you don't have in that Brighton midfield, might be on the cards.
Who are the best three Brighton assets to own, do you think, at the moment, Harry?
Yeah, so McAllister was there, but it's just that slight issue of exactly where he's going to line up. As you said, in the second half of the FA Cup, he was further forward, but I think Matoma has, I have to put him in there just with the amount of flair he has. His underlying data might not necessarily be as good, but we've seen the players like Son in the past who massively outperform their data. And I feel like Matoma is one of those players that if he gets a chance, I kind of expect him to score it. So Matoma is probably in there. I like Solly March as well. He's ticked along quite nicely over the past couple of weeks. He's on a lot of set pieces as well. So has that extra route to points. And then I probably don't have space for another attacker. I did like Evans Ferguson before he picked up an injury, but I'd have to look defensively. And I think Estupinan, with the attacking threat that he has, sort of playing up that left-hand side, is probably the third option I'd go. But the only issue with him is with the amount of fixtures that they've got, do you feel safer with the likes of Lewis Dunk in your team? Because does a wing-back play every game that they have between now and the end of the season? It's a lot of minutes for someone who's going to have to run a lot. So if you don't feel confident with that in your team than Lewis Dunk. But I still think even if he missed one game, Estupinan with Matoma and March is probably where I triple up.
Yeah, it's also interesting though, isn't it? Because Insisco's come in and done really well and he's a very cheap forward. Could he be an option potentially, do you think, Harry?
Yeah, I suppose because we also saw Danny Welbeck go off at the weekend with a potential injury as well. So it does look like that forward position is going to be interesting to see who fills that line. And if it is him, then he could be a great third forward spot for you. The only concern with them is because they have so many doubles, you don't really just want to use a Brighton spot on your third forward who might not play every week. You kind of want players who are going to be in that Brighton starting 11 every single week. And you know that they're going to play 70, 80 plus minutes every week and every game that they have because of that double. So if it was just a normal season and they had singles between now and the end of the season, maybe the occasional double, I think he's a great for a squad player. But if you're trying to maximize those doubles and you don't know he's going to be there every week, it's probably enough to put me off.
Okay, well, when we're looking at all of the teams, that's all the teams that play twice in 34, Jules. Is that the way to go this week when you're looking at your transfers? You should really only bring in players that are playing twice next week?
Yeah, I think so. Now, as we've been saying, it's the end of the season. The points are too important, too valuable, and you need to get as many. And we said before, don't get too blinded by the double game week. Sometimes a single game week can bring you a lot of points. Of course they can. But right now, I think you need to look, you need to plan ahead and look and where you can get points and bring as many as you can. Players who will have three double game week between now and the end of the season, two double. I mean, if you think about it again, the Brighton three double game weeks between now and is huge. That can make a big difference in your rankings. So I think players now, managers have to be very clever and smart on how they build their team and try to bring as many as the best options of those teams who play at least twice, but certainly in case of Brighton, three times before now and the end of the season.
Sam, is there any merit in saving a transfer this week? Because I'm particularly thinking of managers like yourself who were on a free hit last week. You'll only have one transfer for this week, which would then mean you'd only have one transfer for 34. So are you planning on rolling yours?
I am, yeah, because I think, you know, and also I've only recently wildcarded, so I kind of set up my team really to be ready for game week 34, and I've already got benching headaches as it is this week because I quite like to play my bench in my starting 11. So I'm planning to roll because I think, you know, midweek action, we've mentioned already that it does mean that we don't always hear from the managers ahead of the deadline. So we don't always have that kind of clarity that we would like to have before investing in people, particularly, you know, if it's players like Bruno Fernandes, for example, who we won't hear if he's going to be okay or not going into this one. So I think there's definitely a valuable strategy in doing it. It also means that you've then got the two free transfers going into the double game week in 34. And therefore, if you wanted to, you could kind of do what we in FPL kind of call a mini wildcard, spend a 4-point hit and have three transfers, which can make quite a big difference to your team, particularly if you're trying to get somebody like Salah in. That's likely to mean moving money from one position of the pitch into another. And if you're trying to do that, then rolling your transfer ahead of game week 33, so you have the 2 for 34, means that you can potentially get from Kane to Salah, if that's what you want to do, without having to spend a points hit, or with just the 1 points hit rather than multiple that it might take you to do this week.
Okay, so let's end on transfers and captains. We know that Sam is rolling her transfer. Harry, what are you doing and who are you going to be giving the armband to?
Yeah, so a bit like Sam, I am considering just rolling my transfer going into this week. I have a slight issue with too many Chelsea players in my team at the moment, and Brentford at home is okay. I was hoping Ivan Toney would pick up his 10th yellow card and be suspended for this one. But given that he's not suspended, having both Kepa and Chilwell in my team is not exactly what I want to have. I am potentially planning that, adding that third Brighton asset. I have the two midfielders, but I am looking at Chilwell into Estupinan this week to have Estupinan against Nottingham Forest. But Nottingham Forest do score a reasonable amount of goals when they're at home, and Brighton have just played 120 minutes in the FA Cup as well. So I do think that probably the extra bit of information on the likes of Bruno Fernandes, on the likes of how Brighton are going to set up, etc., on McAllister is probably what I'm going to wait for. So I'm hoping to roll my transfer, and then I can't look past an Erling Haaland captain just because, you know, Arsenal away from home, they are conceding goals, and then Liverpool away from home, not necessarily where all of their form is as well. But yeah, Haaland captain and hoping to roll the transfer.
Jules, what about you then? What are you going to be doing?
So I think Jack Grealish is going to come in my team.
At last?
Yeah, I mean...
Is he actually going to though this week?
Yeah, he is, because I've got the money now. I didn't have the money before when we were saying to people, bring him in, it's the right time, and he's done amazingly well in the last few weeks. So Grealish, and I like Joel Linton, and I think Joel Linton could be a really good pick, but again, we talked about double game week. Estupinan as well, as the guys have been saying, it looks good, but probably for next week before his double game week with Brighton. So yeah, I think for this week, Grealish coming in and Haaland as the captain.
Sam, are you going to captain Haaland as well? I was wondering if we were going to have a slightly broader captaincy debate, but it doesn't sound that way.
I think there is a debate. I think you know there are other options that you could go with. There's the likes of Ollie Watkins. He's got a really nice fixture. If you wanted to go with one of the Brighton players, I could see that. Like, I think from a differential perspective, there are other players that you could go to. I think for me, this Man City-Arsenal game is so huge in terms of the title race, and it's so huge for both of these clubs on a club Premier League level, that makes it really attractive in FPL, because you can guarantee that these players are going to be going for it in terms of winning the game. And particularly for Manchester City, I think, you know, Haaland's going to see this as an opportunity to ensure he arrives in the Premier League. He absolutely smashes it in terms of the goals that he's scoring and that he wins the Premier League title in his first season here. So Haaland, for me, again, as boring as that sounds, I think he is the right option.
Sometimes though, boring is best. Yeah. Remember that time when I didn't captain him? Not on purpose, but I didn't captain him. I didn't change it in time. And look what happened there. For me, I'm exactly the same, though. I've got a lot more headaches and decisions to make before the 6 p.m. deadline on Tuesday. Harry, thank you so much for coming on. What's your target for the rest of the season? I'm intrigued.
It's got to be to win it, Harry.
Surely.
It's about 75 points. I have checked off the person in first, which is quite a lot with no chips to play. I'd love to finish in the top 1,000 if I'm not going to win it. So that's the sort of softer goal, I think, for the season, if I'm not going to go and chase down the person in first.
That's got to be more than realistic, top 1,000, no, when you're 202.
Yeah, I suppose I'm being a little bit pessimistic with how the next couple of weeks are going to go, how the double is going to go with the likes of you. Top 100, top one. I'm going to try my best, but yeah, that's what I'd love to do. Top 1,000 is a minimum.
Well, it's been an honour to have you on. You are by far the highest ranked guest we've had on this season. And we will, of course, even Jules, we will all be rooting for you. So the Definitely. Best of luck for these final few game weeks.
Thank you.
Sam and Jules, best of luck to you two as well. Not too much luck to you though, Jules.
You're not going to ask us where we're planning to finish, Kelly, you know, because yeah. I'm still trying to win it.
Me too. Top 500 for me.
In the interest of balance, Sam, where would you like to finish?
No, I was only winding you up, Kelly.
You've set yourself up now.
I don't know.
Higher than you.
Higher than both of you. Yeah, that's important. Right.
I think she might do that, you know.
No, I don't know. I mean, always, I think most FPL managers that have been playing the game for a long time always have the top 10K as their kind of like, this is where I'd really like to finish. But the more players that you get in the game, the harder and harder that's becoming to finish in the top 10K. So from where I am now, top 50K would be a successful end to the campaign, I think.
Jules, what about you?
I don't have it. You know, I'm doing this for the people. Give, you know.
Top million.
I wish on podcasts you could see eye rolls, because myself, Sam, and I think even Harry eye rolled.
It's true. So I just want our listeners to finish as high as possible, you know, as high as Harry as possible, and then we'd be happy.
AKA, he doesn't think he's going to have a good end to the season, so he's going to keep quiet.
He's worried you're going to beat him with all your chips, Kelly. You see, that's
no
what
way.
It is.
What?
He's got chip envy. I know he has. On that note, I need to go and finish this wild card to ensure I finish where I'd like to finish, which is as close. I always target the top 100K, but I don't think I'm going to get there this year. So that's still my target. Still got a couple more chips. And if I don't get top 100K, at least I'll have comfort in knowing that I'm going to beat Jules. On that note, a reminder, your deadline, 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Set an alarm, do whatever you need. We know how tricky these midweek deadlines are. We will be back for you on Friday afternoon, because of course it's that time of year where there'll be another deadline for you on Saturday morning. But before then, get those teams sorted this week, and please pray for me and my wildcard. Bye bye.